I've never been in a church where the choir took a recess. Have you? I've been trying to figure out what's going on this morning. So I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to be absent myself a minute, get a drink, and I'll be back. What a joy it is to be with you this morning. It's always a joy to be able to gather and worship one more time this side of eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to take advantage of this, and I appreciate you taking advantage of this. Let me just simply say this. Our Sunday school, we're open, and we got some good teachers, good lessons. I don't know of any greater lessons that could be studied than we're having now in 1 Samuel about God's friend David. And so we invite you to come, and of course Wednesday night to all the activities. Our men's group, we're in the book of Proverbs, and they're just bits and short sayings that help us along our Christian walk, teaches us how to walk. Every businessman ought to read the book of Proverbs. Tells us how that we can do it the way the Lord wants it done. But anyway, we're back in Jonah this morning. I decided to come back to Jonah and turn again to the book of Jonah chapter 3 this morning, reading the entire chapter, but speaking a little differently than we did last week. Last week we talked about Jonah had at one point in his life ignored the worth of God, just didn't take God seriously. And that is so true sometimes, that God's not taken seriously. But I want us to think about this morning, Jonah not only ignored the worth of God, we find also he ignored the work of God. And you know, there's this particular book lends, just like all the books of the Bible, lends itself to a lot of teachings, a lot of good preaching, of course, in all the books, but a lot of good preaching in the book of Jonah. So if you're able to stand with us as we read chapter 3 of the book of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covering himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Then God saw their works, that they did turn from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we pray. Our Father, we're deeply grateful this morning for your word. And we pray, Father, that as we come to the third chapter of the book of Jonah this morning, that you'll speak to our hearts and our needs today. Lord, that it will be a blessing to our lives as we look at this particular passage of Scripture. We also pray for those that's not with us today, some who perhaps have providential reasons. And we pray, the Lord, that you'll meet with them at the place of their need today. All of our sick, we pray that you'll answer their prayers according to your will. We realize you're still the great physician that healeth all of our diseases. So we pray that you'll work through the ministry of doctors and nurses and medication in all the medical field, our Father, that will bring relief to those who are suffering today and perhaps bring the healing that you would permit. So go with us now through the day. May this be a wonderful day. May it be an exciting day for us. Father, we pray that you bless all that we do for you this day. Now go with us this morning as we speak. We pray that we'll speak clearly and to our hearts this morning, our Father, that we might understand what the Lord would sayeth to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I don't know why I close my Bible unless it's recess time. I never close my Bible, but I closed my Bible this morning. But I want us to know that the book of Jonah, I enjoy reading and preaching and teaching from the book of Jonah. It lends itself to so many lessons that's good for us who walk with God. I know perhaps you heard of the time that the two men were talking about the book of Jonah. And one man said to the other, says, do you really believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale? The other fellow said, well, says, I don't know, says, I'll ask him when I get to heaven. The other fellow said, well, what if he's not in heaven? He said, then you can ask him. Now, get on that for a while. That's a good way of telling a man that he's going to the wrong place, amen? But listen, this morning as we think about Jonah, I want to just to repeat, not really repeat, but look back at what I said about Jonah found himself not being able to escape, of course, the worth of God. He came to a time in his life that he could not ignore who God was. He could not ignore the worth of God. He came into an experience that nothing really mattered in his life but God. He knew that his only way out of the terrible situation that he was facing was up. And of course, we find that he took that course and he went to God with his need. Carlyle said, distance did it for Jonah. Not easy street. Not prosperity. It wasn't Fairhaven Bay or the Bay of Serenity or the Island of Tranquility, but it was the off-course winds, the straits of adversity, and the tempest of disaster. We know that in life that it's so true that there are those in this world that will never look up unless something tragic or something disastrous takes place in their life. And then they'll look up. And that's where Jonah came to. Jonah had found no exits. Every exit was barred in his troubles. And of course, it brought him to a place or put him in touch with God. We find that brokenness is really what brought about the desperation in his life. And that made him realize the awesome worth that God has. And of course, that can only happen. And it may be so in our social life today and in our world. It may be that we are where we are and going through the terrible anxieties that some folks are going through and feeling that in this world, wonder if there's going to be anything better than we've experienced in the last few years, and of course what we experience now. We must know that in our troubles, the only place is up. Our solution, our panacea to the problems of our world today, and the problems that anyone goes through personally, of course, is up. It's with God. Engineers once built a bridge, or built some pillars to put under an old bridge. It said that when they completed the bridge, that they went about knocking the old piers out so that the new bridge could rest firmly on the new on the new piers. Said a young boy was watching what was taking place as the men worked, and he asked his father. He said, "Dad," he says, "why are they doing that? Why are they knocking the old piers out from under the bridge?" And Dad's reply was this: "So the bridge can rest more firmly on the new piers." Now, out of that story, I think there comes a spiritual truth. I believe there are times when it's necessary that the props that we lean on sometimes, that they are knocked out from under us, our support system, so that we can rest more firmly, of course, upon God and trust in Him more firmly. Jonah had his props taken away from him, and it was then that he became aware that God was worth something to him. God was worth or necessary in his life. There is a philosophy that goes around across our land today that we call humanism. Now, humanism denies God. We find that it puts man at the center of everything, the center of the universe. Humanism enthrones man and dethrones God. We see that, don't we, today? How that God is dethroned and man is enthroned. Man becomes God. God's not necessary anymore, according to the humanists. He is being taken away in every avenue. God is needed today in our world and in our lives. And of course, He's seldom mentioned sometimes in speeches and other places that take place. Many are like the speaker in a large auditorium who became frightened or became upset when the light system went out because of a lightning storm. Said when the problem was corrected, the speaker looked up and he said, "Thank you, whoever is in charge." That's the way some folks feel today. Whoever, they don't realize who that ever, whoever is. And of course, we find that we realize that it must be God. Humanists fail to realize and to see God and to give Him credit for all the good that He's done in life. I never cease to give Him praise and glory every morning that I wake up and I'm able to stand vertically. I always praise God for being able to embark upon a new day. How wonderful it is. And the only way I believe that we can solve the problems of the 21st century, of course, is to learn the lesson Jonah learned, and that is God's worth. God is in charge, and of course, it is He that we need mostly in our life. There's another lesson that I want to talk about this morning that Jonah learned. He learned that he could not ignore the work of God. God had something for Jonah to do, and he tried to exclude himself. He tried to ignore that God had commissioned him, of course, to go to Nineveh, and he tried to do everything in the world, of course, to get out of that. In chapter 1, verse 2 of the book of Jonah, God told Jonah explicitly to go to Nineveh. And of course, it says in verse 3, "But Jonah," when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, it said, "But Jonah." You see, the fact, but Jonah had his own plans. Jonah thought he'd do his own thing, and probably, I believe that Jonah never had any intention whatsoever of doing what God said to go to Nineveh. You see, at Nineveh, they were Gentiles, and the Gentiles were looked upon as dogs, as nothing. And that's where we sometimes fail to realize the importance of others, and of course, that they are created in the image of God, and they're important to Him and ought to be important, of course, to us. But Jonah ignored God's word or God's work at least for a season. in verse 3 of chapter 3, we find that in following Jonah's episode inside of the great fish, we find the Bible says, so Jonah. And of course, so Jonah what? Well, the Bible went on to say, so Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh. His intent before not going to Nineveh, bought a ticket to go to Tarshish, and of course to go a couple of thousand miles out of the way when that Nineveh was only about several hundred miles away. But in chapter 3, verse 5, following Jonah's surrendering to do what God called him to do, the Bible says, so the people. So the people what? So the people believed and repented. We find when Jonah decided that he could not ignore what God called him to do and God's will for his life to go to Nineveh, he decided that he would go, and of course he went to Nineveh and preached to the people. Nineveh was a metropolis city, a great city. You notice that it says it was a 3 days journey to walk around or walk through Nineveh. Now, you have to go to the Bible encyclopedia to look up that, but at one time, Nineveh, the land size was great. But anyway, it would have taken, because of the land size at that time, of course, to do that. But we find that Jonah, the city was a metropolis. It said, and in fact, the Bible says there were 120,000 children who were not old enough to know the difference between their right hand and their left hand. So Jonah was Nineveh was a great city. But what Jonah learned about the work of God, we find he learned it in his troubled hour when he was in the stomach of the fish. He made his decision to do what God said to do. Three lessons, I think, from this that we glean. Jonah learned that the consequences involved in being obedient or disobedient to God, to the work of God, we find that he learned the consequences of either being obedient or disobedient. He was disobedient, he learned the lesson, and of course he became obedient. We see the consequences when one seeks to escape the work of God. And of course, we see consequences when one seeks to be enlisted by God in his work. When Jonah ran from God's plan, we find that it wasn't long that he realized that he'd made a great error or a great mistake in life. He found himself in a serious storm and was thrown overboard into the sea. And of course, later, he ended up in the fish. Trying to escape God's work not only cost him personally, but we find that it put lives all around him in jeopardy. He placed the sailor's life aboard that ship in great danger because of his guilt before God, as well as the people of Nineveh who needed to repent and turn to God. He put all of these groups in jeopardy by his trying to escape from the will of God. And of course, we conclude that any time a person decides it their way, those closest to him, they suffer. And of course, those at distance also suffers as well. Disobedience to God is quite costly. We find that a lot of times, and I say a lot of times, sometimes it even costs a person's life. Did you know that Moses, one time, the Bible says God sought him to kill him? Why? Because he was disobedient to God. So sometimes it brings an early death. Sometimes it brings a sickness and our trouble. And of course, we know that this is not always true, that some of the things that we confront in life are brought because we live in a sinful atmosphere, a sinful world, and we suffer from that. But Jonah, of course, became obedient, following God's will, and good things resulted from that, and it always results. Jonah repented, returned to God, went to Nineveh, and God said the city, and God said in His word, the city repented, and if He relented in bringing judgment upon the city and the people. My, what a wonderful thing happened to this great. I suppose there were several hundred thousands people saved under the preaching of Jonah. I believe at one time I read that possibly 600,000 people, of course, were saved, and maybe even more than that. But in Nineveh, can you imagine the sordid places that were in Nineveh, how that padlocks were put on the doors? Can you imagine how that God was respected and acknowledged, and lives were changed forever and forever? Great things took place at Nineveh. And that's a praise. That's a praise. That's the need of America today, is it not? That's the need of America. America needs to come to their knees, repent of their sin, and of course turn to God in faith and believe that God can change things. So we find that Jonah, of course, knew the consequences of obedience and disobedience. Now, I can guarantee you this morning that God blesses obedience. I can also guarantee you this morning that it can become hard for those who are disobedient in life. I've been on both sides of the fence, and I know what God can do in such a time as that. Second lesson that we learn is, and Jonah learned this, and of course teaches us, that he teaches us something about the character of God. The character of God. Chapter 4, verse 2. Jonah said, I know, God, that you are gracious and compassionate. God is gracious and compassionate. He is forever given to us what we do not deserve and withholding from us what we do deserve. That's called mercy. God is a merciful God. God is gracious. God is compassionate. We find that Jonah said, God, I know that you are patient and loving. God gave Jonah a second chance. He knew God was patient, had put up, tolerated him. I like that word. Tolerated him a long time. Put up with Jonah a long time. But you know, He's put up with us a long time. Amen? He walks with us and He tolerates us in life with those things that we fail to do or that we do that we ought not to do. But God gives many chances in life. Praise the Lord, my friends, that God gives us many chances in life. In fact, look at America today. In all of our desperation and all of our wickedness in America, we find that God is patient and loving, calling America to repent of sin and turn to Him. God is also a promise keeper. God will keep His promises. Every promise in this book is God's promise, and God is faithful. The Bible says God is faithful to His promises. God's ready to forgive, and He's ready to relent judgment that comes. That's the reason I said there's hope for our country, because if our people will repent and turn from their wicked ways, God will heal, and God will hear, and God will heal our land. I think that promise is just as true today as it was when God gave it, of course, in the Bible. God's true to His promise. A faithful missionary who served on the southern tip of Africa died from disease and starvation at the age of 57. It said that in his diary, which was found closely by his body, told of his hunger, his thirst, his wounds, and his loneliness as he served or worked for the Lord on this island. Said the last entry in his diary reads, "I am overwhelmed with a sense of God's goodness. All that he went through, I am overwhelmed with a sense of God's goodness." You know, that ought to overwhelm us. That ought to reach our hearts. I'm overwhelmed with God's goodness. I'm overwhelmed today with the fact that God lets me keep on preaching. God lets me keep on preaching. Keep on preaching. And I hope that if I stand here sometimes and I don't sound just exactly right, you'll overlook it, because I want to keep on preaching whether I realize it or not. You know, whether I realize that that's what's taking place. But God is good. God is good. And that missionary, of course, you notice that in his diary there was no grumbling. There was no fussing about the lot that he had in life. There was no complaints that were found in his circumstances. He was just thankful and overwhelmed with God's goodness. Jonah knew that God was a gracious, compassionate, patient, and merciful God. And he is. And he is. Of course, later Jonah became moody, did he not? We find that in his moodiness he did a lot of things that he ought not to have done, but that shows man's nature. You know, that the mistakes that we make in life, sometimes we sort of moody. You know, moodiness is okay in inconsequential situations or matters. But in consequential situations and matters, then we find moodiness, of course, is not welcome. Jonah was displeased with God. He was displeased for sparing Nineveh. Jonah did not agree with God's kind of evangelism when he wanted him to go to Nineveh and to preach. But God's care and love for the spiritual welfare of all people, we find of all people of the world, are the same. Not just Jews, not just Gentiles, not just Baptists, not just others, but Jonah, we find, realized that God cared for all people. He learned something about the character of God. When you're passing through a troubled time, you learn something about the character of God. And then closing, Jonah learned what it was to be committed to God. Verse 3, chapter 3, "And Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of God." Chapter 1, verse 2, it's God's plan for Jonah to go to Nineveh. Chapter 3, verse 2, it remains God's plan for Jonah to go to Nineveh. And God's plan never changed for Jonah, and the people in God's plan never changed. I was reading of the historian that searched for an answer to a question. What is the purpose of your life? What is the purpose of life? He said that he received all sorts of answers from different people. One day he met a humble peasant farmer who told him that the purpose of life is to serve God. The purpose of life is to serve God. You know, I find two purposes God has for all of us and for the world. And the first purpose of God is to be saved. Amen? The first purpose, is that we might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And then, of course, after being saved, God's purpose is that we be serving. We be serving. The historian declared that answer that peasant farmer gave, he declared that it was the highest wisdom to all the answers given him. Jonah was committed to God. We find that he wanted to do what God wanted him to do at Nineveh, crying yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. So we can look at the work, but we'll never be able to ignore or to escape the fact that God has called us to serve. He hadn't called everybody to be a preacher. He hadn't called everybody to be this or that, but he's called everyone to serve. Everyone. Jonah speaks to us today. He says that we must never ignore the things that God wants us to do and be, but be fully committed to doing those things. And he also says, and I like this, he also says that if you blow it, what? If you blow it, there's another chance. Amen? You know, some folks won't give you another chance to redeem yourself. If you blow it with them and your relationship with them, it's over. But God gives another chance. But I'm here to stand to tell you, he gives another chance. And he gives another chance. And he gives another chance. If we didn't, we wouldn't be where we are today. But it's wonderful to know that. That God, and that's what every invitation is. You know, when you think about the invitation in the church, that's what the invitation is all about. Another chance. Another chance. This morning, if you fail to know Christ, would you come and make him your Lord and your Savior? If you're here today, and I know you, most of you today, probably all of you maybe, know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And if you do, will you remember that God's called you to service, and you can never ignore that or never escape that. You must be faithful and obedient to do that. If you haven't been, God forgives our disobedience. But if you're not, you must be obedient to the work of the Lord. Our music will come and lead us in an invitation hymn.